Welcome back to the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party. Earlier we heard that after the Cultural Revolution, CCP leadership changed banners frequently as the government changed hands 6 times within 20 years. Although claims were made that changes were towards reform and opening up, history shows us that the political control of the CCP continues to rely upon the philosophy of struggle and violence. The only difference from the past is that the party has become even more deceptive. Using the pronouncements of law, the social institution of education, the vehicle of the media, and by implementing policies by coercion, the CCP has been effective in maintaining its tyrannical rule. How the CCP controls its people is not limited to the physical torture it inflicts. The party forces people to lose the ability to think independently, making them fearful, self-protective, and cowardly. It is a crime for someone to think outside the boundaries imposed by the CCP. We continue now with part 3 of the 9 commentaries on the tyranny of the Chinese Communist Party.
Conclusion. Why does the CCP have to fight incessantly to keep its power? Why does the CCP believe that as long as life exists, strife is endless? To achieve its goal, the CCP does not hesitate to murder people or to destroy the ecological environment. Nor does the CCP care that the majority of farmers and many urban citizens are living in poverty. Is it for the ideology of communism that the CCP goes through an endless strife? The answer is no. One of the principles of the Communist Party is to get rid of private ownership, which the CCP tried to do when it came to power. The CCP believed that private ownership was the root cause of all evil. However, after the economic reform in the 1980s, private ownership was allowed again in China and protected by the Constitution. Piercing through the CCP's lies, people will see clearly that in its 55 years of rule, the CCP merely stage-managed a drama of property redistribution. After several rounds of such distribution, the CCP simply converted the capital of others into its own private property. The CCP claims itself to be, quote, the pioneer of the working class, end quote. Its task is to eliminate the capitalist class. However, the CCP bylaws now unequivocally allow capitalists to join the party. Members of the CCP no longer believe in the party and communism, and the CCP's existence is unjustifiable. What is left of the Communist Party is only a shell void of its alleged content. Was the long-term struggle to keep the CCP members free from corruption? No. 55 years after the CCP has been in power, corruption, embezzlement, unlawful conduct, and acts that damage the nation and the people are still widespread among the CCP officials throughout the country. In recent years, among the total number of approximately 20 million party officials in China, 8 million have been tried and punished for crimes related to corruption. Each year, about 1 million people complain to higher authorities about the corrupt officials who have not been investigated. From January to September of 2004, the China Foreign Exchange Bureau investigated cases of illegal foreign exchange clearance in 35 banks and 41 companies, and found $120 million in illegal transactions. According to statistics in recent years, no less than 4,000 CCP officials have escaped China with embezzled money, and their stolen funds from the state add up to tens of billions of U.S. dollars. Were the struggles aiming to improve people's education and consciousness and keep them interested in national affairs? The answer is another resounding no. In today's China, materialistic pursuits are rampant and people are losing the traditional virtue of honesty. It has become common for people to deceive relatives and swindle friends. About many important issues such as human rights or the persecution of Falun Gong, many Chinese are either unconcerned or refuse to speak. Keeping one's thoughts to oneself and choosing not to speak the truth have become a basic survival skill in China. In the meantime, the CCP has repeatedly excited the public sentiment of nationalism on opportune occasions. The CCP may, for example, organize Chinese people to throw rocks at the U.S. Embassy and burn U.S. flags. The Chinese people have been treated as either an obedient mass or a violent mob, but never citizens with guaranteed human rights. Cultural improvement is the basis for raising the consciousness of the people. The moral principles of Confucius and Mencius have, for thousands of years, established moral standards and principles. Quote, "If all these moral principles are abandoned, then people would have no laws to follow and discern no good and evil. They would lose their directions. The Tao would be destroyed." End quote.
From Kang Yo Wei, Collections of Political Writings, 1981. Zhonghua Zhu Zhu, Kang Yo Wei, 1858-1927, was an important reform thinker of the late Qing period.
The purpose of the CCP's class struggle is to continuously generate chaos through which it can firmly establish itself as the one and only ruling party and religion in China, using the party's ideology to control the Chinese people. Government institutions, the military, and news media are all tools used by the CCP to exercise its violent dictatorship. The CCP, having brought incurable diseases to China, is itself on the edge of demise, and its collapse is inevitable. Some people worry that the country will be in chaos if the CCP falls apart. Who will replace the CCP's role in governing China? In China's 5,000-year history, a mere 55 years ruled by the CCP is as short as a fleeting cloud. Unfortunately, however, during this short period of 55 years, the CCP has shattered traditional beliefs and standards, destroyed the traditional moral principles and social structures, turned caring and love among human beings into struggle and hatred, and replaced the reverence for heaven, the earth, and nature with the arrogance of, quote, "humans conquering nature," end quote. With one act of destruction after another, the party has ravaged the social, moral, and ecological systems, leaving the Chinese nation in deep crisis. In Chinese history, every benevolent leader viewed loving, nourishing, and educating the people as the duties of government. Human nature aspires to kindness, and the government's role is to bring about this innate human capacity. Mencius said, quote, "This is the way of the people. Those with constant means of support will have constant hearts, while those without constant means will not have constant hearts." End quote.
From Mencius.
Education without prosperity has been ineffective. The tyrannical leaders who have had no love for the people, but who have killed the innocent, have been despised by the Chinese people. In the 5,000 years of Chinese history, there have been many benevolent leaders, such as Emperor Yao and Emperor Shun in ancient times, Emperor Wen and Emperor Wu of the Zhou Dynasty, Emperor Wen and Emperor Jing and the Han Dynasty, Emperor Tang Taizong and the Tang Dynasty, and Emperor Kangxi and Emperor Qianlong in the Qing Dynasty. The prosperity enjoyed in these dynasties was all a result of the leaders practicing the heavenly Tao, following the doctrine of the mean, and striving for peace and stability. The characteristics of a kind leader are to make use of virtuous and capable people, be open to different opinions, promote justice and peace, and give the people what they need. This way, citizens will obey the laws, maintain a sense of decorum, live happily, and work efficiently. Looking at world affairs, we often ask who determines whether a state will prosper or disappear, even though we know that the rise and fall of a nation has its reasons. When the CCP is gone, we can expect that peace and harmony will return to China. People will return to being truthful, benevolent, humble, and tolerant, and the nation will again care for the people's basic needs, and all professions will prosper.